morning. Today is Monday, July the 6th, 194th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Eureka Police Captain Brian Stevens. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I am here. You are here. We both have all of our digits. But I guess we don't play football. Oh, my. We'll talk a little bit about body cameras. This is outward looking, not inward looking.
That is correct.
Okay, good. Just make sure we didn't have a whole different market. Yeah.
Not in the medical.
That's how Andy's covering the budget. We'll also talk a little bit about the 4th of July as well. After our quote of the day, which comes from Theodore Hesburgh, sometime between 1917 and 1999, said, quote, "The very essence of leadership is that you have to have vision. You can't blow an uncertain trumpet." So what was the 4th of July like from a cop standpoint?
Well, I didn't get any phone calls over the weekend, so relatively
relatively calm. We have a very good crowd that comes to Eureka. We have the Old Town Festival, and we have some extra walking patrols we put down there during the day. And then the fireworks show, obviously, at night and the carnival, and we had some extra people out that night, too. So nothing major. A lot of illegal fireworks going off around town. That, you know, it's kind of unnerving for us and the fire department, but doesn't seem we had any major law enforcement events over the weekend.
Yeah, we'll get an update from Ken on Friday about the fireworks.
Yeah.
When there is a gathering of people, like the Old Town, 10,000-ish?
I would say close.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, yeah, I know it's a nebulous figure, but I would think that you guys get kind of your spidey senses going a little bit and a little tingly. And then, you know, with some of the stuff that we kept hearing all weekend long about ISIS and, you know, pay attention and soft targets and on the lookout and da da. It's got to be a little unnerving. I mean, even if you're hanging around and BSing with guys you know or that you bump into, you're still focusing elsewhere.
That's a part of the law enforcement mantra, I guess. It's that hypervigilance. You really are never totally feel at ease, you know, unless you're not where you're actually working anymore, maybe in Hawaii or somewhere. But still, you're always kind of watching out for your surroundings. And I was in town, you know, off duty on the 4th of July, and yeah, it's almost hard to somewhat enjoy yourself because you're constantly, even though you're with your family, you're off duty, you're still never really off duty. You're always watching your back.
Now, why would you come to Eureka and try to be incognito when you've got more of your guys out there? You know somebody's going to come up and give you either a hard time or, "Hi, how you doing?" And
yeah, my son wants to come out and spend some time with his girlfriend, not-so-girlfriend maybe.
I see.
So it was a family thing.
I see. You were pulled here.
I was, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Or chauffeuring might be a
chauffeuring,
better term.
Chauffeuring, yes. Okay. That's kind of how I ended up here.
Yeah. Really, I need to have a corn dog, and it has to be from 2nd and F in Eureka.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know how that works, too. Oh, boy. Yeah. Questions when we return. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talking Shop this morning with Brian Stevens. Brian, the concept of body camera, I know, is, I almost want to say, dated. Because, you know, everybody running around with their cell phones that have got, okay, fine. So you're going to get all these different perspectives, and it's not like video won't be taken anymore. So is, and the perspective of a body cam is more narrow, by definition. I mean, it's not going to be 360 degrees. Mm-hmm. It can't be. So when you're looking at the onset of this implementation, what are you looking at as far as the benefits for the department?
I really think the benefits will come with the level of accountability and transparency that will be relayed to the community. You know, people always question what we do, and when there's complaints filed that our guys were not so on the up and up, or they were rude to somebody, you know, it's always a one-sided or two-sided story, but there's never usually an independent witness. And hopefully with the body cameras, it not only will keep our officers, which I think they do an excellent job, but make them more accountable for what they say and what they do, but it will also make the community be on a little higher alert, careful what they say to the officers. And I think it's a two-way street. And the things we've seen, you know, it causes complaints to go down. I think it'll be a great piece of evidence for court and a lot of the cases we have to deal with. So I see it as being a positive.
I hadn't even thought about the citizenry, that they are now kind of kept on a short leash, so to speak, in those kind of situations.
Well, we're not required to tell them we're recording when we're wearing the camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but it doesn't hurt if you see somebody starting to get a little amped up or
excited,
agitated.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, I'm going to remind you that I'm recording this for
legal purposes
or documentation or whatever.
So you get the mic on one shoulder, you'll have a camera on the other shoulder?
No, the cameras and the mics are all in one unit. So we're testing two different units right now. One unit from a company called Watch Guards who does our in-car cameras. And it's a simple box you wear. It's got the camera. It's high definition, 130-degree view. The mic's already in the camera itself, waterproof. And then the other company is pretty much the industry leader of Taser. They put out an Axon body camera. And same thing, they have one that fits like a body camera, like a little box on your shirt. Then they also have one that comes up into a remote camera that you can wear on glasses, your lapel, different places on your body that would suit you. So it's really going to be on preference. One of them is
individual officer selection.
Well, it'll be a consensus.
Whether it's a shirt or whether it's an
yeah, it'll be a consensus. We're going to test them and then we're going to take what's best. But you know, one of them, Taser, they have a proprietary evidence.com solution that they do all their stuff by cloud base. So
you don't have to worry about the storage.
That's right. Well, I have to worry about paying for it, but I don't have to worry about maintaining it. WatchGuard, on the other hand, is a hard server. Like, we already have the servers in line now. We would just download straight into those servers. A lot cheaper, you know, already built in-house. So there's a lot of this is not a black and white issue when it comes to picking a body camera. There's a lot of thought that has to go into this.
When the data starts to occur, is there any case study, any idea how long you have to hold on to this stuff?
I think we have to hold on to everything for 12 months, and that's before we can start purging it. But, you know, then we started looking at, well, what if we have a case that's attached to a piece of video? So we have to be able to archive that for a little bit longer. If we have a complaint or any type of litigation, those are going to have to be marked and archived until that litigation or complaint has actually been complete. And, you know, in civil court, that could take years. So I think a lot of the stuff, traffic citations, field interviews, you know, a lot of your everyday contacts that we're going to have that, you know, cops will be required to turn on the camera, I think after 12 months, we'll be able to purge most of that stuff. So I'm not as concerned about the in-house hard drive server type stuff getting filled up, because I think we'll set in place a purging process that will allow us to keep that information flowing.
Has this area really started to develop? Is there enough years under some departments' belts with body cameras so that you kind of have a sense and you can use them as a reference? Because I'm thinking, boy, here's a tape and all of a sudden, edit. Even if it goes from, you know, helping the old lady across the street to then the bad guy. Well, what was just before, what was there? Well, we don't have that. Oh, really? And I could see some lawyers having a field day with this stuff.
Yeah, you know, body cameras have been in use for years in different departments. Nobody locally has had them. I think Rio Del or somebody now has them and has a policy in place they're using them. But locally, there hasn't been anybody that's really put them out into the field and used them. We rely a lot on what San Diego has done, LA has done. they're all using tasers, but we look at their policies, we look at where they made mistakes or where they jumped into things too early. And that's kind of why it's been nice to hold off and watch other people fail so we don't make the same failures, because, you know, a small department with limited budget, we don't want to make a lot of failures, because then we're not really implementing anything. We're going to have to go back and we're going to be put in reverse if we're making too many mistakes. So,
well, you know, the whole concept, why there aren't so many lemmings.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are the judges ready for this?
I have a question I haven't asked yet. I've been in talks with the district attorney's office and our city attorney, and they're both on board as far as what the body cameras could bring. They've seen this already through the car cameras, so it's not a brand new introduction of evidence.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Captain Brian Stevens. Brian, the concept of body camera is one thing that's kind of halfway challenging. What other technologies are out there, though, that you guys are either wanting to or needing to incorporate into just the day-to-day activity of being a badge?
Well, one of the ones we have to deal with now is with the layoffs we just had is CopLogic, which is a computer
program. Uh-oh. That sounds like it's a stretch.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a computer program that allows citizens to file reports with the police department via an online process. So they can fill out their own police reports. For talking minor thefts, there'll be a list of crimes on there, a list of things they can actually report to us. And then those will be forwarded to our watch commander, who will review them, make sure all the elements of the crime are there and all the information we need to file the reports there. And then we'll be able to take a lot of reports that way. So, you know, I've had people say it's taken away from customer service, and I agree. And if somebody really wants a cop to come to their house, they're going to get an officer. But at the same time, I have so many people in these meetings I go to, whether it's coffee with a captain or neighborhood watch meetings, who, you know, I don't want to bug you. I know you guys are busy. So we're truly not getting a sense of how many crimes are really being committed, because a lot of people just don't report them. Every time we go to a meeting, we can ask, you know, raise your hand if you've had something stolen but you never called the cops. And it'll be more than 50% of any audience that we have. So if this is a way that they can report things to us being stolen, it may help us recover more property, because we'll have a sense when we recover all this stuff from drug houses that, hey, maybe this is stolen. They'll get case numbers, they'll get, you know, information for their insurance, and I think we'll get a better flow of information. Is it going to cause concern with some people? Yeah. And there's going to be some we're going to go and take reports from, because that's what they're going to want. They want that face-to-face contact. It just may not happen may not happen in a hurry, because we're going to have to prioritize other calls for service we have.
Yeah, there's a downside for reading. As you guys are having to define service now, I know one of the frustrations historically has been responding. No, nothing proactive. Okay. With the automation, with this, with other tools that are now available, does that give a higher likelihood of being able to do some service rather than response?
Yeah, so what we've done, not only with the elimination of the PSO rank and having to look at the calls that they normally handled and how we're going to take on that load, but with all the calls to service we have, we've sat down for hours with our communications managers, the chief, Captain Watson, and myself, and said, what can we change? What kind of calls can we change and not go to? What kind of calls can we only send one officer to instead of two? And really looking to try to free up time to let the officers have the opportunity to be proactive. So, you know, it does come as a price because customer service will take a hit somewhat. We want them, though, to have the freedom if they see some cold report calls on the screen, but they see a carload of bad guys in front of them committing some type of traffic offense. I want them to feel like they have the opportunity to stop that car, and they may eliminate more victimization by doing that than they would just go by taking cold calls. So we want to give them some more freedom. We want to free up their time to be proactive. And I think we've taken some major steps in that direction. And with the changes and with the new CAT system where it's coming online at the end of the year, I think they're going to see it too.
Is there any thought towards voice recognition for the report processing that you guys have to do?
We've never spoken of that. The new system we have, you know, they'll be able to type the reports in the field, in their cars. There'll be an autofill option. So all this information, once entered into the new system, the same guy we arrest for being drunk on the side of the street 4 or 5 times a week, they'll be able to autofill his information with hopefully like one click of the mouse. And so we'll save some time there. I mean, the voice recognition stuff, no, I know like Reading PD does a dictation thing where they dictate all their reports and then somebody else types them up, they get them back, review them. I've heard from friends that have gone over there, that's quite the change. Yeah, you have to get used to being able to talk your way through a report, not seeing it on paper. But it works for them, but it's not something we've discussed.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Brian Steele.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Captain Brian Stevens from EPD. Brian, there was a story last week, and I just kind of heard bits and pieces of it, about sweeping through cleanups, notifying those in the encampments that someone or something was going to come through, kind of like a Zamboni. Clean everything out. What's going on with this one?
Yeah, it's not quite that way. This has been going on for a year. I mean, over a year. So the Parks and Rec Department once a week has a contract with SWAP, and they'll go into the Greenbelt areas and they clean up trash and different things that they can legally take out of that area. You know, the city has a responsibility to take care of their property, even though there's illegal camping taking place all over city property in the Greenbelt. But they have a responsibility for the trash and to keep it somewhat clean, because somebody will come after the city eventually for the environmental damage and other issues that are taking place back there. So what we're doing is working with Parks and Rec. Our POP team goes out. The way we're going to do it, they've broken down the Greenbelt section from Del Norte to the foot of Truesdale into 4 sections.
Del Norte Street?
Del Norte.
Not Del Norte County?
No, yeah.
Okay.
So they've broken that down into 4 different areas, and So we went in last Tuesday or Monday, noticed the first area, hey, on this date and time, city's coming through and clean up. Pack your tents up, pack your stuff up, they're coming through for trash only. They don't take tents, bed rolls, don't shopping carts, nothing. They're just looking for the trash and clean it up. So what's going to happen now is every Thursday, so that Thursday, last Thursday, they notice the next section. So they're going to give a week's notice of what time they're coming through.
So every 3 or 4 weeks they're back at...
They do it, yeah. So every 3 or 4 weeks they're back at the original starting point. So the idea is we're going to do this for a few months, make sure the notices go out. We're going to post maps. Everybody should know. And hopefully it will alleviate my guys from having to go back out there. The POP team have to go out there and walk through there to do just nothing but notifications. And it'll be on a rotational thing. And their idea is just to keep the trash cleaned up, keep people from being totally entrenched and creating septic systems and other issues, and the other issues, we're not allowing them to build structures. When you're not back there for a while, they will take pallets and stuff, and they'll build full-on structures, and now that's a whole building permit issue, And those are removed upon site.
What's the reaction been?
I think the community is... They're supportive with anything we do back there because we're trying to make it better. They want them gone. They obviously want the camping done because it's creating so much crime issues with the mall and the areas down there. My own mother-in-law and them were victimized in the mall parking lot while she's sitting in the car. Somebody came out of the Greenbelt, stole a tent out of the back of her truck. She yelled at him, somebody chasing him in the Greenbelt. He took the tent, jumped on a motorcycle, and took off. So there's no rhyme or reason. They weren't doing nothing wrong. She was sitting with her property in the parking lot, and that's just how brazen they're getting. So I think whatever we can do to help alleviate some of those concerns and make that area just so people can go down and shop will be much better. You know, there's other groups down there trying to do volunteer work and things, and there's always headbutting going on. But overall, I think it's a move in the right direction.
As you look at continuing to make things better for the community, what's the next step? Is there anything, is there something else that you guys are looking for or looking to be able to do just to kind of keep everything kind of unsettled?
We really got to get our cops out in the field and work on the petty theft stuff. That's really driving people crazy. Just having the small things stolen off their front porches and things like that. Getting that close to being, I mean, that's your private space. Being violated like that carries more weight than anything. So we're really working on education, especially with the cars, leaving things in the cars. Through the neighborhood watch programs, really trying to educate the people in the police department on how we work, response times and things. I think the more educated they are, the more understanding they'll be, and they'll understand that they need to help police themselves, and that will help cut the crime in the city.
Yeah, I suppose most of us have a tough time projecting what somebody might do. You know, going in the backyard of somebody is just still a weird thing for me.
It is.
But I know it's pretty common for you guys. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Say hi to what's-his-name when you see him.
I will.
All right. We've been Talking Shop with Brian Stevens. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.